a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Glad to have you with us. Second hour of the program on a Monday. Mondays are always the fun day for us because we have so much to talk about, so much to break down from over the weekend. You just heard our Players Club with BYU's quarterback, Jaren Hall. If you missed any of that, you go back and download the podcast, listen to what he had to say about his availability for this weekend. Although I still, Scott, I'm a little unclear. Yeah. About
it was vague.
I will be there. And then it was like, and then he said, I will be out there. So I'm like taking that as a, I probably am going to be playing in the game. But if you want to go back and listen and kind of maybe break
a lot
down
of things, though,
for yourself, yeah, you could. He'll be out there warming guys
could
up.
Be out there in the
waving to
outside.
The fans. No, he's going to be there. You said it yourself. These competitors want to play, man. And so if you want to go back and listen to the Players Club, you can download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Do it for free. Download the KSL Sports app. If you'd like, you can also, if you have the KSL Sports app, read all of the Jazz you can handle. And you're going to start getting a lot as the media day, which then means the preseason is about to fire up. And then preseason, handful of those games. And then you got the regular season. And Ben Anderson, our Jazz insider for KSLSports.com, joins us today. It was a good 6 hours of media day coverage, courtesy of the Jazz. Were you around for all 6 hours of watching that video, Ben?
I missed Derek Alston Jr., but I was in the building. I actually got to see those players,
oh,
but I think
see,
Derek
nice.
Alston went at like 7:55, and I got there at 8:01 a.m. So I caught Justin James, the new two-way player, but I missed poor Derek Alston.
So Shaq says that the biggest concern for L.A., which most people think is the top team in the West, is the Utah Jazz. Where did the Jazz land this off season? Did they go up? Did they move? Did they go down? Where are the Jazz sitting in the West, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't think they lost ground. Now, you know, that doesn't mean other teams didn't catch them necessarily. I don't think the Jazz got worse in the off season. I think Rudy Gay is an improvement on George Niang. We'll see what Hassan Whiteside can do as opposed to Derek Favors. But I don't think the Jazz lost ground as far as from a talent standpoint. But you know, if you get a healthier LeBron James, if you get a healthier Anthony Davis, those are players who can, you know, make the Lakers better and have someone leap them. Or if the Suns are out there and maybe a little bit healthier, and not that they, you know, missed a lot of games from their stars last season, they could potentially jump the Jazz. But I think the Jazz are still really good. I think they should still be a top three team. And with their experience and you know, kind of some of the hard lessons they've learned over the last few years, they could absolutely be the biggest threat to the Lakers in the West.
As you look at what the Jazz have in terms of what they acquired in the offseason, out of all the people they've added to the roster, veteran and otherwise, rookies, whomever, who's going to be that impact person right off the bat where they go, where we're going to go, ooh, I like this addition for the Jazz this year?
I think Rudy Gay is probably the easy answer. Mm-hmm. And I'll be curious, actually, how much we see some of these different players in the preseason. I imagine we'll see Trent Forrest. I imagine we'll see Jared Butler. The fact that Butler didn't get to play in summer league, and I think the Jazz want to see what he has, might really give him an opportunity to get on the floor maybe quickly in summer league. And by all reports, he's played well in kind of the OTAs, and Quinn Snyder liked him coming out of the draft. So, you know, there's a few options that could set there. But you know what? Everyone talked today about how well Eric Pascal has played, and Quinn Snyder wasn't, you know, going to commit to having a 10-man rotation, which is probably what it would require to get Pascal on the floor. But everyone talked about how well he's played so far, and he brings a little bit something different as a playmaker at his size. So the Jazz could use a guy like that that can play three positions in the front court. So maybe somebody steps up and carves out a niche. I think Rudy Gay, we know, is going to play. We think Hassan Whiteside is going to play. But, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch if Forrest or if Butler or if a guy like Eric Pascal can just play so well as they force themselves into the rotation.
What's the next evolution of Donovan Mitchell's game? Where's he got to take his game?
I think it's just, again, it's like a handicap in golf. You're just trying to lower it a little bit, and that just comes to efficiency. You know, it's just fewer bad nights, and he had very few last year. You know, he shot 38% from the three-point line. Maybe he shoots 40% this year. You know, and that's just taking one fewer bad threes and turning that into an assist or, you know, half an assist a game and raising that three-point shooting percentage to 40% like we see him do so often in the playoffs. Now, he doesn't need to score 40 points a game like he does in the playoffs, but he can certainly get a little bit more efficient during the regular season. Then again, you know, he missed the final 20 games of the season, and the Jazz finished with the best record in the regular season. So he's almost as good as it gets when it comes to playing that position right now.
Ben, I'm going to play a little clip here from Rudy Gobert. We talk about guys who've got a lot of goals and guys who work hard in the offseason. He's at the top of the list, I think, if you follow him on social media or if you see what he's doing and the work he's putting in. Here's what Rudy had to say about his desires to win a title.
I mean, I'm not super, super, super satisfied with silver medal. I'm really happy of the experience. And obviously what we did for the country, I think, was huge for the game of basketball in France. So it was great. I'm excited to be here. And, you know, and we have bigger goals, winning a championship. And I hope one day also I'm able to hold that gold medal, too.
Gold medal, NBA title, why not? Why not have them both? Is this a guy who, I mean, he's, speaking of guys who've evolved over their career, that's somebody who's certainly gotten better and better and better every year. So what's the next level for Rudy then to get to?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rudy's got to continue to, you know, get a little bit more versatile on the defensive side of the ball. I think some of that scheme for Quinn Snyder, I don't think all that falls on Rudy. There's really not a better defensive player on earth than what Rudy Gobert does. There's more agile players like Ben Simmons and Draymond Green, but, you know, impact, no one does it better than Rudy does right now. So I think it's just a matter of putting him in positions to succeed. You know, honestly, you know, outside of, you know, free throw shooting, again, to talk about, you know, boring percentages, I don't know how much Rudy Gobert can do better from what the Jazz are going to allow him to do. He's never going to shoot jump shots, never going to step out to the three-point line. He's never going to be a playmaker. They're never going to ask him to put the ball on the floor. What he does, he's just about perfect at it. He sets incredibly good screens. He knows how to do how to time them. He catches lobs now. His hands have gotten so much better from when he first got into the NBA. What he does, he's just so good at it at this point, and that's why the Jazz do win so many games during the regular season. Is there a potential that he's limited in the playoffs where you can't do certain things or teams can game plan around him when you have seven games? I think that's a good argument because we've seen it for a couple of seasons. It's not like anyone's actually playing him off the floor like the narrative has stated, but you know, you can probably change up how you attack the Jazz in a playoff series, but there just might not be that much room to grow for Rudy Gobert. But if he continues to play this way, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he needs three more years at this level, and he's a lock to be in the Hall of Fame if he's not already there already. So, I mean, that's wow, how good Rudy Gobert already is.
So what concerns you about the Jazz this year?
I still think there's questions about the perimeter defense. Quinn Snyder today did talk about some of the advanced numbers on Rudy Gay that, you know, he was pretty impressive in San Antonio because he's so long and he's so big with what he does on the perimeter. But if you talk to people who watched him night in and night out in San Antonio, they said it was pretty questionable what he could do. Now, again, they don't have a rim protector behind him in San Antonio as good as Jakob Poeltl's turned into as an NBA player. He's certainly not Rudy Gobert blocking shots. And having a guy like that will make you better as a perimeter defender. So, you know, they didn't go out and find that guy necessarily during the offseason. That was their main issue against the Clippers over those last four games of that series. They just could not stay in front of anybody. And that could easily come back to haunt them again, you know, coming up in May, coming up at the end of this season. If the Jazz don't find a way to stay in front of somebody, they're going to lose again. They won't make it to the finals. So that's going to be the biggest question, and you just aren't going to know if it's fixed until you get to the playoffs.
Ben, last question here for you. I mean, one of the things that I think we all looked at and we went, yeah, there's no – I don't think we were all talking at this point last year saying – the Jazz will probably have the best record in the regular season in the NBA. So
what you talking about? I thought that.
Scott says he did, but I don't. We'll have to check the tape. But what can Jazz fans expect in terms of like what a real expectation of this team is this year in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, the baseline was set last year. You have to get back to the second round of the playoffs, and you should win your first round playoff series easily. I mean, the Jazz are so much better than the teams that they are going to be playing 5, 6, 7, 8. So they need to be getting home court advantage, and then they really do need to be better than whoever they're facing. It shouldn't necessarily be close. And look, you know, the Clippers made the conference finals and struggled with Dallas and needed 6 games to beat the Jazz. It's not like it's ever easy. But the Jazz are good enough, and they have this experience, and they've got the payroll, and they've got the all-star level players, that they just should not be struggling to advance in the playoffs at this point. The same way Karl Malone and John Stockton, by the time they got to the mid-90s, they just had to be good enough. You couldn't have these awkward first-round exits like they had a couple of times early in their careers. The Jazz have to be better than that. So you have to at least be a second-round team, and it's going to be disappointing, I think, if they get eliminated there again.
Ben, we appreciate it. We're looking forward to reading this year's lines from you, and we appreciate you joining the program again. You can go over to KSLSports.com and read up all the write-ups of today's media day, all the reveals, everything there. So, Ben, thanks for taking the time, man. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's take the break. Cowboys up 27-7. They're just stomping the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick Sirianni wearing the Beat Dallas shirts. Might have been a problem. We'll come back. Hey, Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television is going to walk in the studio. We've got a lot to talk to him about, including the tragedy of Aaron Lowe's death this weekend in Salt Lake, and now where the University of Utah football team goes from here and how they get past this massive tragedy as a team. Stay with us. More to go on.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.